Hey, Erica.
Hey, Shay.
I'm a little excited and nervous about today's post.
No, it's going to be great.
We're breaking down birth.
Yes, we're going to talk about all the things birth related. We're sharing our birth stories.
It was a fun episode to record because our birth stories are so very different.
Yeah, I didn't even realize before we sat down to talk about it that we kind of cover it all.
Listen, I learned a lot in today's episode. I had questions about, you would say things about vaginal deliveries. I did not know. Like, I didn't know. So I learned.
Yeah. I'm laughing because it still makes me nervous that we even said words like vaginal delivery in the middle of the podcast.
Well, when you were talking about it, I had to stop you because I was like, wait, elaborate. Wait.
Yeah. What was that?
Yeah. So if you are a vaginal delivery girl or you're a C-section girl like me, or you're just pregnant and about to become one of them, or you're a mom of adopted kids and you just want to hear birth stories, hey, welcome.
Yes, we're glad you're here and we hope you enjoy this episode on all things breaking down birth.
It's up right now.
Hey everyone, I'm Erica.
And I'm Shay.
And we're two bestie moms breaking down topics each week here on our podcast.
We cover everything from pop culture to travel, motherhood, organization, fitness, fashion, food, and so much more.
We're two best friends just chatting about life and we're so excited you're here.
Okay, I'm excited about today's episode.
Too. This is going to be fun.
I think it's going to be really fun. I also think it's very wise for people to break down birth a decade after they've given birth.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, wait, I was about to say, I'm sure that we're going to forget all the bad stuff, but no. Some of it I remember quite well.
I think I might have forgotten some. So if you're pregnant out there, listen, we might be the encouragement you need. Look, it's been, for you, it's been 8.5 years.
Yeah.
For me, it's been 11 and a half years. It's going to be fine.
Totally.
You're going to give birth. It's going to be great.
Yes. You should know that this is going to be like not medically helpful at all.
Oh,
it's just going to be two moms. We're going to chat like the true, honest truth about how our birth stories went.
Please don't take anything we say seriously.
No, it's like lighthearted. Nothing that's important for real is going to happen in this podcast.
Okay, but let's talk. I read, nobody's going to be surprised. I read a lot of books while I was pregnant about being pregnant, but the two favorites and the ones I thought about the most and I appreciated the most, one of them was Jenny McCarthy's Belly Laughs. Did you read that book?
I do think I read it because it kind of sounds familiar.
Because it was not medical. It was very like a girlfriend telling you about her hemorrhoids. And I was like, yes, sister, like, let me reread that chapter.
Tell me more.
You know, that's the kind of stuff I wanted to hear. There's a place for all of it. But I, in my pregnant state, needed that like raw, real, she accidentally pees herself when she's walking the dog or whatever it was. Like just that like stuff that people aren't talking about.
Okay. So that's our goal today. We're trying to be super honest and share all the stuff that other people aren't talking about.
Yes. And our producer, our wonderful, amazing producer, first of all, he's like a man's man. He's like 9 feet tall. He's a nice, big man's man. We already apologized to him for things he might hear us say today.
He might not know some of this.
We put out on social media, if we are going to break down birth, what do you want to hear us talk about? And there were so many great questions. We're just going to make this a Q&A podcast. So we're going to go back and forth reading your questions and giving answers.
First, do you think you should do a little like snippet? Like how many times have you been pregnant?
That's a great idea.
Let's start there and then we'll answer questions.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so I have 3 biological children. My first is now 12. Ebby Lee is 12. I am certain I did not read a single book before I had her. I went into it like super blind. I mean, just, it's going to be great. I'm having a baby. Here we go. So I had her, and then I should say it took us a while to get pregnant, a long while. And so we didn't get on any type of, you know, birth control, and we weren't being careful because we thought like, oh, if this happens on its own the next time, this will be super miraculous. And God is still in the business of miracles. So when sweet baby Ebby Lee was 3 months old, is that right? Or 4 months old, I found out I was pregnant with baby number 2.
Let's pause for a second. You weren't on birth control because you, I'm going to just get real down to it, because you apparently were having sex when you had like a 10-week-old baby. So,
like, I really think that we'd only we'd only done that like once or twice, but it was apparently the magic time.
I mean, right. That's part of your problem, Erica.
Well, I mean, I had a 3-month-old. So I'm sure at that point it was like, okay, it's time to make it happen. And then, yes. So then we were pregnant with Nixon. I had Nixon. And oh, I should say all my births were with Ebby Lee. I had her at like 37 and a half weeks because I started getting a little bit of high blood pressure. And so they induced me. It was super easy. Super easy. Shay was there. She came to visit in the morning with some friends, and the Pitocin worked so well that we were like, hey, we're going to be pushing. You should stay. I mean, it wasn't super quick, but I went into the hospital that morning and had to be late at like 3. And then when Nixon came along, it was so much easier. We realized to just, my body worked well in Pitocin. Let's do it again. We'll induce. We did the same thing, and Nixon was there by noon. Again, I went to the hospital that morning at like 6 or 7, had Nixon by noon, and then I had Bowen 2.5 years later, same story, and Bowen was there by like 11:30. All like,
I don't even know why I'm her friend. Talk about your pregnancies. Birth. How delightful were they? You glowed.
My pregnancies were easy. They were really pretty easy, other than, you know, at the end where you just feel really big.
Oh, bless your heart. They're at the very end.
Yes. I wasn't sick. I didn't really have any of that.
She was adorable too.
Okay. Stretching
between me and you. You were more adorable.
No.
What did you tell me when I was pregnant with Kensington? Or right after I had her, what did you say?
No, I didn't say anything. You're going to make that sound bad. That's not true. She's misspoken. After she had Kensington and was pregnant with Smith, I told her that she looked very different this time around. And she looked very pretty pregnant with Smith.
Not so puffy in the face. I don't remember
the exact word. I just knew that like, this kid was going to be very different from the first one because she looked so different. What's that myth or like old wives' tale where they say like, if you gain weight all over, you're having a girl. Isn't that it?
Yes. Yes. And I gained it all over with Kensington. We'll talk about me in a minute. You finished with your little sunshine, roses, and unicorn pregnancies and Pitocin births.
I think that's a good start. That's what happened. That was my story, right? Your turn.
Yes. Okay. So meanwhile, I'm pregnant at the exact same time and mine are just not looking near. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to. Pregnancy is hard. Are you okay over there,
yeah,
Erica?
I'm good. I'm listening. Sorry.
She's microphone issues. No, pregnancies are hard. I'm not downplaying yours at all. But I didn't feel nearly as cute next to cute little Erica when I was pregnant either time. You were adorable.
She looked cute. Let me just say, her face looked less puffy the second time, though. So I was certain Smith was going to be a Mr. and not a Mrs.
And so Ebby Lee and Nixon are 12 months and 3 days apart.
Yes.
And Kensington and Smith are 16 months and 3 days apart.
Okay.
So all those babies right there in a row.
A lot.
And I'll tell my story in a second, but it's really cool because when Ebby Lee was there, like I was there, I went in the room, we'll get to that. But then like when Smith was there, like you guys were there. Like it's so, our stories are so intertwined from the beginning. Kensington is my oldest. She's just about to be 13. Took me a couple of years to get pregnant. And
a couple of years to deliver her.
And it did. I really like the... I know this woman should shock anyone. The besties had the same OB. Okay.
Not at all.
Let's just get out.
Who's surprised?
Who's surprised we had the same OBGYN? No one's surprised. And he is one of our favorite people to this
we
day.
We should have him on. We could do a birth part two and we could have him.
How hysterical. He would come on and he would sit on a little Pottery Barn chair and talk about it.
Okay. In the future, we'll remember
when
that.
We break down maybe hormone replacement therapy something, we will have him on. Oh my gosh, I'm already laughing. Kensington came before Ebby Lee, just 6 months before Ebby Lee. I did fertility, but didn't do fertility drugs and stuff like that with Kensington. She was like a wonderful miracle. From the word go, I was sick as a dog, absolutely sick. For those of you that are, I feel so bad for you. I threw up every single solitary day up until and including the day I had her. I threw up that day too with morning sickness. It was awful. It was awful. And I can't even sugarcoat it. I was so thankful to be pregnant. I did not like a second of it. I never glowed. I never felt good. I never felt happy. It was just not my best time. So then when she was born, I decided to do it again. And I had Smith. Accidentally had Smith. But no, Kensington at 38 weeks, our sweet doctor, our OBGYN, the only way I can describe it is like he was putting a dog down. He was like, and you're done.
Yeah. I've taken you as long as I possibly can.
Yes. On multiple occasions, this is so gross. More than one time, I showed up at his office having thrown up in a cup I kept in my car on the way to his office. Like, that's how sick I was. So at 38 weeks, he said, 38 and a half weeks, he was like, okay, I think we'll go ahead and induce you just to like put the dog down, right? He was ready to just like put me out of my misery. It didn't go well. He induced me on September 14th, and I did not have her until the afternoon of September 15th. So I was in labor a long time. She would still be there today if he wouldn't have mercifully removed her.
The Pitocin did not do the same thing on Shay's body.
Nothing happened. So I had my blood pressure dropped. Hers dropped kind of like not an emergency C-section, but weren't planning on a C-section. I had a C-section with Kensington. Then when I turned around and got pregnant with Smith again, my only other biological child, I had a scheduled C-section. And I think we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. But pregnancy was equally as miserable. But according to Erica, my face wasn't as bad.
For the record, I was a teacher when I was pregnant with Ebby Lee. And I remember going back to school after getting the gender, during the ultrasound, they told us we didn't have a party or anything. And I went back to school and told my teacher friends, like, it's a girl. And I remember one of them saying, like, just from seeing you walk down the hall, I could tell it was going to be a girl. I guess it was basically like my comment with your puffy face. It happens.
What does that mean? You just waddled different?
I was like, I had gained weight all around and not just in the front.
Oh.
I don't know.
So we're probably two good people to talk about birth because we've had five births between us. And then I've also had a miscarriage. So I hate to say variety, but like I had a miscarriage before Kensington. I should say that right around 9 weeks, I miscarried my first baby. And then I had a boy girl pregnancy. And then you had a girl boy boy, but you were induced successfully. I had unsuccessful induction and then a great scheduled C-section. So in that nice variety for the two of us. Yeah.
Okay. So are we ready to just dive deep into the Q&A part of breaking down birth?
I'm already having fun. So yes.
Okay. Let's go. Okay. So first of all, natural or drugs?
Oh, drugs.
Yeah. It was never a question. I wasn't.
No, drugs.
Never, ever consider not having them.
No, drugs.
Okay.
I respect people that don't. Like, absolutely. I'm not that person, though.
No, me neither.
Okay. So mine. Were you trying for a VBAC or did you schedule your C-section with Smith? I scheduled that thing like you wouldn't believe. I was not, I liked my C-section. Now, I've never had a vaginal delivery, so I have no idea what that's like, but I didn't mind my C-section with Kensington and I definitely didn't mind it with Smith. In fact, I thought it was delightful with Smith. Showed up, full hair, full makeup. If you notice in my pictures, I even have earrings on. They didn't even need to take my jewelry off when I had Smith.
Well, I also would say that everything that you associated with a vaginal delivery was like over 24 hours, waiting in the hospital. You felt horrible. Yes. You just probably didn't even want to go there.
No. So that scheduled C-section, I haven't done it the other way, but I thought it was like easy peasy. I loved it.
Okay. Did you guys have complications or did you require an extended hospital stay?
No. After I gave birth, both of my kids had jaundice though, and we had to stay one extra day for that and they had to be under the lights and that's just not fun. But no, nothing. No.
Me neither. We're like blown through the questions. Okay.
Well, because again, sunshine and unicorns, Erica. Oh, Pitocin? Sure. I'll have a baby before lunchtime.
I will say that by Bowen, I was like, because at that point I delivered at the same hospital every time. My second and third, the nurse was the same. She recognized us. We recognized her. It was the same doctor. So at that point, when I went in to have my third, I was like, okay, the last time we had this baby at noon. So let's beat it. So we were all into, we made it a fun game. It was fun.
Insert the eye roll here. I was induced and had the baby on a completely different day of my induction.
Okay, next question.
Oh, goodness. I hope we're going to go back and revisit, I don't know if this is a question because I haven't looked at all the questions, but I hope we go back and revisit after we give birth before,
We're going to revisit it.
Yes,
next question.
Okay, oh, good, okay. My next question is, who did you let in the room with you? Andrew and I, it was just the two of us, and we never even considered letting anybody else in the room. We weren't interested in that. I love my mom. I love my mother-in-law. They were there for their own birth. So I feel like
they were there for your birth and his birth.
I feel like, no, we didn't even like, I know that's a very, we got this question a lot.
Oh, really?
Okay. Must be a hot topic. But for us, it was not even an issue. I just wanted Andrew there. He just wanted to, he didn't want anybody else there either.
Okay. So I would say for the first, especially, I don't know about you, but with our first, I had magical expectations of kind of how the moment would be. Did you?
No, but I remember your magical expectations.
I don't know what I had a lot of weird magical expectations. That's what Shay's talking about.
Well, no, but to be fair though, I was getting to the end of a marathon where I felt terrible and I just wanted to be put down. And you had time to like fantasize. Like it had been going so well. So of course that I was very prepared for it to not go well.
Okay. I was not. I mean, it went totally 100% fine. But I think I thought, oh, it just needs to be me and Tab. The doctor is going to put this baby like in my arms and I'm going to, I don't know, like the angels are going to sing. And I don't know. I just thought it was going to be this like much more magical moment. And it was sweet and we positive, we cried, but it wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't like exactly what I thought it would be, you know, because they like whisk the baby away to clean the baby. And, you know, it's just kind of like a blur of all the things. So with Ebbie Lee, I was expecting a magical moment. Nixon, I don't... I always kind of laugh about this, but like with Nixon, I had a 12-month-old and then a newborn. So a lot of memories escape me.
Right? For sure.
But then with Bowen, at that point, I felt like an old pro and my mom stayed at that time. Like Tab and I both were like, oh, we should let her see what this is all about.
I don't understand the whole pushing thing because I never got that far. Did you push a long time with all three?
Ebbie Lee was flipped. Like, I guess she was flipped upside down. Do they come out upside down?
Sunny side up, is that what they call it?
Yes.
Okay.
She was flipped. So I had to get in all these weird positions, which is what took so long that first time to get her to flip. And she finally did, but it just took a while. So with her, we did a lot of like that, moving around to get her to move. The other two boys, no, especially if you've had drugs, then nothing is really like hurting. They say like, oh, you're about ready. And then you push a couple of times and it, I mean, maybe not every time. I will say my births were very like easy, very, everything went well, which I'm super thankful for. And I know that's not the case for everyone, but I didn't have to push very much. No. Wait,
I have so many questions. This C-section girl has lots of questions. What kind of, because I'm assuming some of these people out here are pregnant. What kind of things did you have to do to flip her around?
I remember, you know, you're in like a gown, a hospital gown.
Unless you're having a C-section, you're naked.
Oh, okay. I was in a gown. And okay, one thing about birth that really surprised me and Tab too, I think Tab thought he was going to like hang out by my head. And really it's like your nurse is helping you get as close to ready as possible. And then the doctor comes in at the last moment and you push with the doctor at the end. Like I wasn't pushing with the nurse alone, but she was checking, she was making sure. So it was like the nurse and Tab were holding my legs. And then the doctor was down there being like, okay, and we're going to push. And, you know, Tab, I'm just telling you, if you asked him about my birth with Ebbie Lee, what did you think? He would say, I was surprised that I had to be so close down there, like holding your leg. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was the first thing that we were talking about, though?
What
did you ask me first?
Like about pushing.
Oh, the position.
Yeah, the position. How so you flip
to get her
someone.
To flip, I had to, I remember being on all fours on the bed. But keep in mind, like, I'm in a hospital gown that, like, opens in the back. You know, like, not what you want to be
Describe
doing.
Describe my face. I'm so perplexed. This is not how it goes. If you have a scheduled C-section, that's not how we roll, okay? I never got on all fours, not one time.
I remember doing that. I don't really remember what else. Probably because in that moment, I felt so awkward that that's why it stands out to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I remember doing to get her to flip.
When you say you didn't push very long with the boys, like, I don't know anything. So is that like you pushed four times? You pushed for like 30 minutes?
No, I probably pushed like four times. Yeah.
Over the course of 30 minutes, like some sort of amount of time
and then
like that.
Really what takes so long or what took so long for me, it was like then the doctor had to like handle everything else.
Oh.
You know, like the baby's out, but
yeah,
he's like, I don't know.
There was handling on my end too.
Making it all work again. I don't know what he was doing down there.
Okay, I'm going to ask you.
We will have him on. We'll have to ask him what's happening down there.
Our doctor would love it. Wait, I'm going to ask because I don't know. Hey, listen. I tore right across my abdomen. Did you tear?
Oh, of course I did.
I don't understand this. I didn't do this. I need you to help me. Walk me through this.
Oh, gosh. I'm like sweating now because here we are. I thought this was going to be so fun, but I'm like spilling all my secrets. Well, yeah. I mean, just like a head is coming out of that little tiny spot. And even though it gets really big to get that head out, it just, he didn't like cut me or anything.
Yeah, okay.
It just kind of tore naturally. And then that's what took so long after was like the stitches.
Okay.
I even remember being like, I felt like it took forever, probably the first time because things hadn't, you know, been like that before. Uh-huh. I remember being like, what is taking so long? And he was like, I'm trying to make this look decent again. Like, that's what he said. Again, we're going to have him on and we'll talk about it. But yes.
Side note, I'm sure he made it look decent again. But what is he like most proudest of?
His C-sections.
Yes. And he's so proud of his C-sections. But I have had other doctors, like when I had my hysterectomy, another kind of doctor did it. And he was like, who did your C-section? That's so good. And I immediately like texted him because I'm like, oh, he's going to love. He knows he does good
C-sections. He's
going to
want to know.
And then what do you think his response is when I told him?
Of course I did.
Exactly. He was like, well, of course I did. I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
I'd love when a doctor is so confident.
Yes.
Okay. And then just because I don't know, people are probably wondering, the healing process from like tearing, like you don't still hurt now, right?
As I'm sitting in this super hard little tiny Pottery Barn chair, no. The first pregnancy, again, probably because it was the first time things like that had happened, it was sore for longer.
Okay.
I mean, probably like a week or two, and then it was fine.
Probably too. You didn't have time when you had Nixon, you still had a baby. You had a 12-month-old. And then when you had Bowen, you had like two toddlers. You probably didn't have time to think about. I mean, I'm assuming you were probably too like, whatever, I'm fine.
I think you also, you know how the first time maybe your body's a little bit more in shock, like that just happened, where the second, third time around, like there's like muscle memory too that's like getting you back to normal maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I like this. Anything else you want to say about your actual births? And then maybe I can get all my questions out of them. Listen, I have questions.
You do have questions. My next question though is kind of like, when did you feel like yourself after? And that's where our stories are different because Shay felt so bad during pregnancy that pretty much she had Kensington and looked like a completely new woman, where I had, especially Evie Lee, and looked like death for like 3 weeks. That's the difference.
I mean, I don't know how much you want me to elaborate on that. You didn't look like death, but one time I was in Hawaii when Evie Lee was like a couple weeks old, and I got a kind of upset voicemail from Erica, who was having a post-baby moment.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
Okay. Oh, so you handled your birth. I'm going to talk about C-sections.
Yeah, talk about C-sections.
I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything here.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. Do you have any other questions about my birth?
I'm just, the whole thing, I just need to watch one. Hey, listen, I don't want anybody in the room when I have a baby, but please somebody let me be in the room when they have one. I don't know what it looks like. I've never been in the room.
See, you want Kensington or Ashby or Maidley to let you in, even though you didn't let your mom in.
I know.
Look at you.
Look at me. So my C-sections, the first one not scheduled, but I had one. It was such a relief that most of the details that I remember are more just, I was so relieved to be having one.
How long did it take?
Oh, less than an hour I was holding her. So from when he came in and said, okay, we're having a C-section now, they like, you know, prepped me, took me to the OR, did all that stuff, got whoever they needed to be in there. Like it was a very short amount of time. And then I'm like holding her. The details are not foggy, but just it was the overall memory is it was such a relief. I was just so glad to be having a baby. I didn't care. Eric and I have a mutual friend. And I remember her telling me like, you just don't want to have a C-section. Like she just had me terrified.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have, I was so terrified. Not, you know, I'm not a worrier, but she had me convinced I didn't want to have one.
It would be horrible.
In that moment, I was like crying tears of joy. I was so happy to be having one.
Yeah.
With Smith, what I thought was so interesting, his was scheduled because I'd had one before and because I just wanted another one. I mean, it worked well.
It was easy.
It was easy. Yeah. My doctor suggested it he suggested it for me. He did not recommend a VBAC for me in my situation. So, but I just remember Smith was born at 12:30 on the dot. Okay. So my C-section was scheduled for noon and I didn't have to be there until like 10 or 10:30. I just remember that part was oh, this is going to happen fast. Like, I don't need to get there at 8 a.m. They're like, nope, get there. Get you checked in. It was so, everything was so quick. I joked earlier because I mean, watch, this is going to be, people are going to be like, no, that's not how it was for me. This is how it was for me. But like, I had a hospital gown on until they took me to the OR, and then they took it off of me and put up that curtain thing that like set so that I can't see the C-section happening, you know?
Yeah.
But like the curtain thing is like on my chest bone. So like, I can't see my boobs, but they're like on the other side of that curtain. I just remember like in the Kensington moment that happened too, but I was so relieved. I was like, bring a grandstand in, like anybody watch. But I do remember with Smith, I was like, oh, okay. And there's like 15 people in the room and like most of them are men, right? The anesthesiologist and like they're male nurses. And I'm like, I guess we're doing this. That part was just, I'm a little bit more modest than that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I had an ovary surgery, like while I was trying to get pregnant with Ebby Lee. And I remember going back there, you know, in the bed with my gown down nice, neatly tucked. And then I remember coming out and being like, oh, at some point, like everything was all open.
And out there.
Yeah, but you just don't know.
No, and it was fast and it was a great experience. And I think I recovered super quickly. But just like you said, my pregnancies were just, I was in such a physically dark place, but like emotionally, I was in such a dark place that the minute I had them, I do feel like I bounced back so quickly because
very quickly.
I felt like a new woman. I felt so much better.
So much better. How old was Kensington when we had your sip and see at my house? Because I remember when Shay walked in that dress, granted, I was pregnant, but when you walked in, I remember being like, oh my gosh, like she looked like her pre-baby self. And Kensington was probably like 3 or 4 weeks old.
We talked about this before. I'm really good with dates. I think it was like the first weekend in October. So she would have been like
2 weeks
or 3 weeks old because she's September 15th.
Yeah.
But you had seen me looking so miserable. And
I don't think that's what it was, but yeah, you looked great.
Well, thank you. Okay. Next question. Did you work out when you were pregnant?
No, I didn't with Ebby Lee. No, I worked and there was no time for that. And I was exhausted by the time I got home from school. So no, with Nixon, I mean, I worked out by having two babies at home, but then with Bowen, I did. I like went to the gym, went to workout classes, did all different kinds of things. What about you? We kind of talked about it, right?
I worked out. Yes, we talked about it in fitness. I worked out, but I think like Shay, 11 and a half years later, would tell anybody out there that's pregnant now, put your feet up, rest.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I think there was like great things about working out. I think, you know, like that was good for me and mentally or what, you know. Okay. But also like, don't put pressure on yourself. Sit down, rest. You're about to have a baby.
Or also put your other kids in the gym childcare and enjoy yourself.
Let's not stress about that.
No, not at all.
What's your next question, Erica?
Okay. Wait 1 second. I got behind.
I'm having like a leg cramp right now from sitting on my little Pottery Barn chair.
Of course you are. It's so small. Okay. Did you have issues setting boundaries with your families once you first had babies?
No, I didn't. My in-laws were there and my parents were there, but I thought everyone was super just respectful of our like private time. And I know this is probably a struggle for some people, but no, kudos to my family and Andrew's family because we didn't. What about you?
Kind of. I remember just the first day being so tired and wanting like everybody to leave. And our nurse had given me like a secret word, like a safe word, that if I felt like she needed to get everybody out to tell her the word. And I told her the word.
Yeah, good
and
for you.
And she got everybody out. It was amazing. I mean, and I'm saying that, like I had Ebby Lee at 3 and this was probably like 7 or 7:30 where it was like, okay, it's like, I'm ready for everybody to go so we can like get ready for bed.
If you listened to our previous podcast on Enneagram, right? You had the nurse do it because you're a peacemaker and avoid conflict.
But I'm certain that when she got everybody out, like I cried because I was like, oh my gosh, I needed you to do that. Thank you so much. Whereas I wouldn't have done it.
Probably if you ask my mom and mother-in-law, their memory is probably like, no, you told us to leave.
Yeah, that's why we had good boundaries. You didn't want us to stay.
Oh, you got to love that about the two of us. Erica, one of our questions is, did you get depressed before or after you gave birth? I don't want to say it was depression because that's like a real serious, like I'm not diagnosing myself, but I will say it was a very low time in my life and I was very sad during both pregnancies. I was thrilled I was pregnant, felt so grateful and blessed I was pregnant, but just emotionally it was taking a toll on me.
Okay. And then we're going to go back to, I was living my best life pregnant and then after is where I like hit a dark place. Are we talking about this?
Yeah, talk about it.
Okay, so This is like one of the questions that was asked over and over and over again. Okay, so when I had Ebby Lee, I breastfed her. First of all, like, kudos to all the moms out there who do this. It's hard. It's exhausting. My baby did not sleep very well at first. And so anyway, I was doing this or attempting, and she just was not gaining weight. She wasn't growing enough. So I only breastfed for 3 weeks. So it had to have been like in the first 2 weeks, she wasn't getting enough food. So I would supplement. So I would breastfeed her, then supplement with formula, and then, you know, like change her diaper and put her down to sleep. So imagine that in the middle of the night, you're supposed to feed your baby like every 3 hours. Breastfeeding took an hour, then I would supplement. So by the time I like changed her diaper and put her down, it had been an hour and a half. So really I had like an hour and a half to sleep before I had to start the process all over again. And I was doing it and I thought like, this is normal. This is what people are doing. But then I got mastitis 3 different times and I only breastfed for 3 weeks. So every time that would happen, I would get fever. I would feel like I had the flu. I would just be sick. It was horrible. So while my pregnancy was great and it was good and all of that, again, I'm not using the word depression, but I think it was very much like
baby blues.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, absolutely. I think I had it and I didn't know. And
postpartum,
I kind of
thought, even?
Postpartum. That's the word I was looking for. Yes. Postpartum. I think I didn't know that that's what was happening, but I was so exhausted, like physically, mentally, just worrying about, is she eating enough? Is she got enough? Blah, blah, blah. I went to this like flea market, Canton, mm-hmm. which is like an hour and a half from us. I went with a friend and she had a 3-month-old baby. I had Ebby Lee, who at the time was like 3 weeks old. You should know Shay was in Hawaii.
My baby was 7 months old at the time.
Yes.
I was in Hawaii.
Shay was in Hawaii. Okay. So I am taking this breastfeeding Ebby Lee with his friend and the entire day. It's like a fun girls mm-hmm. kind of trip. They have all different kinds of things. It's just fun. We took our babies, strolled around, except I could not stop crying. I didn't cry during the day, I don't think. I cried all the car ride home. And when we got there, it was like, I didn't even want to go up and down. Like, I remember I would like sit on a bench and wait for her to walk. Like, she knew something is wrong with her. Like, what's up? All the way home, I cried. Here's my postpartum definitely kicking in. And when we got home, she had three, like her baby was her third. And so she was super sweet and was like, Erica, I think you need to stop breastfeeding. Like, it's clearly not working. This is, you know, I had talked to lactation consultants. I had done everything I could think, but just, she wasn't getting enough food. It was draining. So I again talked to a lactation consultant. I called Shay in Hawaii. I talked to my mom. I mean, I was praying over it. Is this going to be okay? Is my baby going to be fine? And I finally just switched to formula and I was like a new woman. It didn't take long at all. I didn't realize how exhausted I was and it changed my motherhood track. It totally changed. So yes. Was the question about depression or afterwards? It was dark. I was dark, dark, dark. And I, at the time, I never would have thought it was postpartum. I just thought that's what everyone else was doing or going through, which I think you hear a lot. Like, we have another friend that had postpartum and she would say the same thing. Like, I just thought that's what every young mom was feeling because it was new and we were, you know, I didn't know what to expect. So if you're listening and after having your baby, it's like really hard and you're thinking really dark thoughts, just be honest with your doctor and the people around you. That's all I'd say. I never got on medicine. Really, truly, what changed for me was stopping breastfeeding. And I think like sleeping, I think the fact that this human relied on me only for food was, I don't know, it was like stressful in my mind. So anyway, what about you?
So neither one of us breastfed. Right. Like you did Ebby Lee.
Right. I attempted and it didn't work. So then afterwards I stopped. I didn't try with the boys because of how dark it was the first time.
And then I didn't even try at all with Kensington or Smith because I was in such a dark place pregnant that after talking to our doctor, it just seemed to be the right decision to let me go back to my normal body as quickly as possible. Like I was in such a dark place and he thought that would be the healthiest decision for me to be mentally healthy. So I didn't. breastfeed either one of my kids, not ever one time. It was a great decision for me. I'm so pro breastfeeding. And I know you're like,
yeah,
pro.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like people that do it, it's amazing.
Yes.
But I have talked to people over and over who are stressed and saddened when they get that news. And I try to be like, hey, it really helped me. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it really helped me too. I think it did, because I think again, really dark place, but I think just I was able to be the best mom because I was able to have them and not be in that dark place.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's 100%.
And so pro breastfeeding, it just didn't work. It wasn't a fit for us.
Yes. If you can make it work though, that's amazing.
Oh, for sure.
What is something you wish people had told you before birth?
Before birth? Oh, that's a good question. I'm trying to think, do I want to go practical or do I want to go like deep and spiritual? I think I'll go practical. You know what? I wish they would have told me how long. Ugh, here we go. Sorry, producer John and my dad who are listening. I wish they would have told me more about like, because even when you have a C-section, you bleed for like days, you know? I wish they would have like told me more about like that stuff. Like even after, you know, whether you have a vaginal or a C-section, like a lot of just like stuff is happening down there for days after. Yeah. You're wearing the big panties and the big pads and everything's big. And
For days.
I wish I would have been more like mentally prepared. And probably I wish I would have been like prepared with like the supplies. Like I just don't think I was like prepared for that.
Yeah.
As much as I should have been. So yeah. What about you?
Okay, one of my friends, Shay and I have talked about this before. I remember afterwards, and again, I did have reasons because I was in a dark place, but I remember people inviting me to do things. I remember being like, I'm so tired. Like, I cannot do that. Mm-hmm. I was so tired. And one of our friends at one point I really needed to hear it, but she kind of snapped at me and was like, everybody's tired. Like, as a mom, you're tired, whether your kid slept through the night or whether she didn't, just because you're doing so many things. Like, you just have to like move on and be tired. And at the time, my 9 self, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's like said it so harshly. Later and afterwards, it actually is probably just what I needed to hear. Like I needed somebody to be like, yeah, you're a mom now. You're not going to get as much sleep as you used to. Like move on. So I wish somebody would have been honest, or I'm not that anybody wasn't being honest, but I wish somebody would have set me down and been like really blunt with afterwards. Like you're not going to get as much sleep. You're going to have to just go with the flow. Yeah. If things are dark, like they shouldn't be that dark afterwards. And if they are, let's get help or, you know, let's figure it out.
I think as a new mom, you assume one of two things. You either assume this is what everybody's going through, so I shouldn't complain or speak up to my doctor or my mom or my girlfriends because this is what everyone's going through. And so then like you're not getting the help you need when you need it because you just assume everyone's going through it. Or the flip side is you're the only one and you can be like over like, I'm so tired. You're the only brand new mom that was tired. Like, I think you can easily flip it that way too.
Yes.
Was there a moment that you knew you were pregnant besides like taking a test? Like, did you feel symptoms of being pregnant?
No, probably because we were trying so hard to be pregnant. I was taking tests like the second I could take a test. So no, like the baby was like a speck.
Okay. And so you don't have any like, okay.
No.
Your boobs weren't swollen or sore or anything. I've told this story. I'll say it again. With Smith, I didn't find out I was pregnant with Smith until I was like over 8 weeks. I was almost 9 weeks pregnant.
Okay. Why did you take the test?
Because one morning, because I just wasn't paying attention because I had a baby at home. So I just wasn't paying attention to those pesky details like, did I miss a period? One morning I woke up, I opened my eyes and I immediately was like, I'm going to throw up. And I stood up and I threw up right there.
And then you were like, I better take a test.
Because I knew that there's like a certain kind of pregnancy. Like I just felt it. Yes.
So,
but then when I went to the doctor, you know, again, our super blunt and honest doctor, he was like, yeah, you've been pregnant for a long time. You didn't realize it?
Of course you're pregnant. Okay, wait, I say that. Do you remember when I was pregnant with Bowen? I asked you, we were at my kid's birthday party, like at Evie Lee Nixon's birthday party. And I was like, Shay, I think I'm about to start my period. Do you have anything? And I was like having like cramping symptoms. And I thought, my period was coming, but it was.
That was the Easter Bunny party, wasn't it?
Is
that
the one?
Yeah, I remember that. I totally remember that. Okay, I'm going back through our questions.
Let's see.
What terrified you the most? Did anything terrify you about giving birth? Were you worried about something going into it? I was worried about having a C-section, ended up
being fine. Probably because my pregnancy had been easy. I really wasn't thinking like worst case scenarios.
Yeah. Should you worry about something? I feel like trust the doctor, right?
Yeah. I think that's something that Shay and I both loved about our doctor is he's super confident and almost like, you have a problem, I'll handle it. Don't worry about it. That's 100% how I felt about him. So it was great.
Absolutely.
Okay, Shay, the question is, did Erica have a miscarriage as well? How did you cope and how did your husband support you? I did not. So this is all you.
I did. And he just, I don't know, bless his sweetheart. He supported me by letting me talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like this is just Shay's philosophy on life. I think so often when unfortunate things, bad things happen to people, people don't want to talk about it because they think they're going to like, oh, if I ask her about it, like bring up the
feelings. I'll bring it up and it'll remind her. Yeah.
But I think most people want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. I think like, you know, I definitely know, I'll give a perfect example. My miscarriage was on June 25th. So on July 4th, I went to my, so 9 days later, I went to my family's like annual July 4th party.
Uh-huh.
And nobody said anything. And then later I got upset by it. And my mom was like, well, you know, like we like weren't trying to bring it up. Like they had like,
yeah, we wanted to have a good time. And so yes. Nobody wanted to mention it, which I totally understand.
And in love and in sweetness, they had pre-planned, like, let's not talk about it. Like it all came from like a place like love and sweetness. But that's all I could think about there. I was consumed with sadness and I wanted my people to like sit in that with me for a minute.
Yeah.
Right. It again, all came from a place of love. I totally understand that. But now I feel like, especially like, I don't mind asking like our sweet friend Manda that died, her parents, like we talk about her all the time because like they want to talk about it. They want to say her name. Right. So I just think like if someone you love has had one, I think like unless they tell you not to talk about it or, you know, they stop talking about it when you ask questions. Like, talk about, like, ask questions. Tell, you know.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. When did your kids sleep in their own rooms?
You go first.
Well, Ebby Lee, I was waking up so much. I don't think I put her in her room until, like, 12 weeks. Because at that point, she was finally, like, starting to sleep longer. But with Nixon and Bowen, they went in there, like, as soon as we got home.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Kensington and Smith went into their rooms as soon as we got home.
Yeah.
And I had the video monitor and, you know, obviously like feeding them and changing them. And I never had them in our room.
I'd also say, though, that in both of our houses with our kids, our rooms were really close to their room. Like, it wasn't like they were far apart at all.
No, so we didn't have two-story houses.
No, yeah. We were all on one floor. And then even Bowen, when he was little, we were still,
Yeah. No, I mean, I shared a wall with the nursery.
Yes.
It wasn't far, but I just knew my personality enough that if I'm allotted that hour to get to sleep, I would not have been able to sleep if I heard any little baby coos.
Yeah.
The monitor told me my coos, and I could listen that way. So no, I think that makes you a better mama to have.
Absolutely. Do what works for you. Yeah.
Tips for nausea, food aversions, exhaustion. How do you stay productive when you're pregnant? I mean, I just think you do your best.
Yeah, I think take a nap when you can and eat anything. If you're somebody who is dealing with nausea, I think eat whatever you're going to be able to keep down.
Yeah. This is not the time to worry about, in my opinion, my not medical expert opinion.
Yeah.
This is not the time to worry about your diet.
No.
This is eat what is like appealing to you and the baby you're growing.
Yes.
Do not worry about it. If you're missing vegetables, whatever, you'll be fine. Like,
take a vitamin.
Yes. Like, don't be hard on your, that's what I would tell a new, pregnant mama today. Like, give yourself some grace. You're doing hard work. Just walking around with that baby in your stomach. Like, give yourself some grace with exercise and diet, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I had the worst. I used to wake up, and even though I threw up constantly, I would have to eat to, stop the nausea. It was a weird balance. But I would just eat stuff I would never eat today. Terrible stuff. Just because that's what sounded like that will help me feel better. Do it. What?
Tell us. Tell us something you ate.
My go-to with Kensington. And I mean, at 8 in the morning, I was eating it. Peanut butter and jelly Uncrustables. Not a regular sandwich. It had to be an Uncrustable. Okay.
Okay.
And Cheetos. Which have you ever seen me eat that in the last 10 years?
I mean, no. I like a Cheeto.
No. I don't eat that stuff. I had to have it. That made me, kept me between puking, was eating my Uncrustables and Cheetos.
Okay, I didn't deal with nausea, but this is what I wanted to eat every day for lunch. So I guess I would say my craving. You know those toasted raviolis?
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Yeah, I would get them from Target in the frozen section.
Yeah.
And That's what I would have for lunch.
I don't judge that. I bet it was good. Did you put some marinara sauce on
it? Oh, yeah. I would like have marinara on the side. And I would have like toasted rice. Now, I'm talking about definitely for Nixon, because I remember like baby Abby Lee sitting in her high chair while I ate my toasted ravioli.
Your pregnancy diet was more sophisticated than mine.
Do we call it that?
Over an Uncrustable?
I'm not sure.
Right?
I'm not sure.
Best tips for avoiding stretch marks.
Listen, I don't know.
I totally have them. And my personality was to like try really hard to not have them. And I have them. I just think you're going to get them or you're not. I mean,
yeah, I think they're genetic. Like either too. You've got that type of skin or you don't. And so go with it.
Own it. You had a baby. Yeah. Who cares? You have stretch marks. I mean, that's what I think too.
I have another question. Anything you wish you had done that you didn't? Like during the birth, while you were pregnant?
Relaxed more, sat down more, rested more, slept more. I was still trying to be like as normal as possible because that felt right. No. Okay. What about you?
Yeah. I don't think of anything. You know how people say like sleep when the baby sleeps. Like I didn't do that, but I wish I would have done that.
Yeah.
And let's be real. And I should have been super honest with other people. Like, this is how I'm feeling. Is this normal?
Yeah.
Because then I think a friend, a doctor, somebody would have been more like, yeah, that's not normal. Let's talk about why you're feeling that way.
Yeah.
So be honest with how you're feeling.
This isn't a question, but Erica, did you know the genders of your babies?
Yes. I found out as soon as they could tell me.
Yes. And which is so funny about our personalities, because I'm the planner and you're the not planner. I mean, you're a planner, but not like I am. Like,
no, yeah.
I live by a plan. And we did not.
Yeah. I remember walking, like when you had Smith.
Yeah.
We were there and they let like 40 people in your room, right? Not 40, but probably like 20.
It's so magical. Don't find out. People don't. Ignore what Erica's saying. Don't find out what you're having. No, I'm kidding.
It was a sweet moment.
It's magical.
Very sweet.
No, and so we didn't know with either gender, but yes, when we did find the baby came out and then Andrew announced that it was a boy, there were like my entire family of 26 plus all the Slaughters were there.
Yeah.
All crammed in one little post-op room.
One little tiny room. And they said, it's a boy and his name is. And then everybody like screamed and yeah, it was so sweet.
It was fun. The last question I have was about weight gain.
Oh, yeah, I gained weight. I gained lots of it. I didn't worry about that. I could have cared less how much I gained.
On this side of it, a decade later, I'm like, make good choices that are healthy choices, but just survive, right? Like, try to do your best to enjoy
it. Also, if only Uncrustables and Cheetos are going to be the thing that works, like, just go for it.
You know what? Your body's never going to be the same because you had a human being.
Yeah, it never will look the same.
Yeah, and so if losing weight is like a big concern of yours. Like, listen, you'll probably lose it. Sounds like you're the kind of person that's going to be strict with your diet and exercise and you'll lose it. But just your body's going to be different. You had a baby.
Absolutely.
Celebrate that. Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do a birth 2.0 because I feel like there's still other things we could talk about. But we like hit all of these questions this round.
I'm going to write that down. We'll do a birth
2.0. Maybe so. If you listen and you're like, hey, we still have a lot more questions or we want you to go a little deeper, let us know.
Speaking of questions, we're going to wrap it up with our random reader questions.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, it's time for our random reader questions this week. Shay, you want to get started?
Do you think any of them will have to do with birth?
No.
What about Enneagram? Do you think you're going to do with Enneagram?
No, nothing.
All things I like to talk about.
I wrote these down, so I kind of know what they are.
Oh, I don't. Okay. I'm going to pull my first question.
Okay.
Best advice for getting up early? Oh, I like that question. Erica, best advice for getting up early?
Okay. I'm going to copy the slogan from Nike and say, just do it.
Oh, good.
I don't think it's easy. I don't think it gets easier. I think maybe your body just gets used to it. I am somebody who can wake up early. I can go, go, go if I know that in 4 days I'm going to get to sleep in. Like mentally, I have to know, okay, but one day down the road and I can see it. Not like far down the road, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as I know that there will be like a little more sleep and I can like catch up, then I'm good.
Okay, that's interesting. So if you have like a baseball tournament, heavy baseball tournament weekend ahead of you, and you know like, oh, I'm going to have to be getting up early on the weekend, is that discouraging for you to get up early on a Tuesday knowing that?
Yeah, it really
I can see
is.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
I'm going to blame your Enneagram 9-ness for that a little bit.
Maybe so. I don't know. I just need to know. Like this morning, for instance, I got up early to get some stuff done. But I know like this weekend, I'll be able to sleep in just a little bit.
Yeah. It's that reassurance.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, yes, just do it. But for me, it comes from a place of I never, kind of like working out, I never regret waking up early. I never regret working out. I don't want to work. I mean, no, like I have to kind of make myself or, right. It's not like something I look forward to waking up early per se. But like when I do and I like have those extra hours, I never regret that. I never look back later in the day and go, gosh, I wish I would have slept in. I'm always like, yeah, look at me. I got started early. I got so much done. But the reverse, I feel like I get major regret. Like later in the day, I'm like, oh, if I just wouldn't have been lazy enough, I just would have woken up this morning, I wouldn't feel so behind.
That's funny because sometimes around 3:30 when I'm getting really tired, I could have major regret for getting up early, right? Like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten up so early, then I wouldn't be so tired right now. I can have that regret.
I don't have that regret. Even if the question's not about Enneagram, I'm going to bring it back because I wonder if clearly. The nines get more tired because they're processing more.
I'm exhausted mentally. No.
My eight self is like, look at me. I got so much done in those first 2 hours.
Yeah, you feel so accomplished.
Yeah.
Maybe too, if you're not used to it, just start with like getting up 15 minutes earlier and be super productive with the 15 minutes and then see how you feel.
Also, give yourself something to look forward to. I look forward to like my cozy chair and blanket and my cup of coffee and my quiet time. Like that, if I were getting up and like, well, you and I are different because I don't know how you do it. Erica, okay, here we go. Here's a whole episode right here. I don't know how she does it. I have admiration for her. But like if we're supposed to be at the gym at 5:30, I am waking up at 4:10 because I need that full hour to like get mentally ready because I want to ease into my day.
Yes.
But you don't always do that.
There were moments when I would be like, I got up at 5 and then there I am at 5:30 and the gym drive was like 12 minutes.
Yeah, I am impressed by that. I need more time. I love a routine. I need more time to like do my routine and ease into it. I look forward to that. So that helps me get up.
See, on those particular days when I got up at 5 for the 5:30 meetup, it's probably because I knew in my weekend I could not catch up. So like, no, it's not happening.
You just have to do it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Nike, you're right.
Nike said it best when they said, just do it. So there's not like an easy way. Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. Just do it. That's a good question. What's your next
question? Okay, my first question is, we want to go skiing as a family, but we've never been. How should we start? Do you have a recommendation?
Oh, my little heart could go multiple ways here. Skiing is so fun, right? We do it. I take my kids every year. It's a great vacation, but it is the most work out of any trip we do, period, without a doubt. I'd rather take my kids and drag them across Asia again or Europe than skiing is. It is hard work to get your family ready for skiing. So I think plan in advance, get the things you need in advance, in advance, in advance, in advance. Because even when... Some of my worst
You had to go silent
moments.
There for a second.
I can't even. Some of my worst moments as a mom, as a wife, as a human have been getting my kids ready to go skiing, like getting the gear on them.
Yeah, because you're sweating. Oh. They're sweating. Ski school starts early.
It does not
you're
bring out.
You're looking for the gloves. Yeah. You can't find the socks. Oh, for sure. I think you should start at ski school.
Okay, Erica's getting practical. I'm like, you should just
lower your expectations because it is a tough trip. I also feel like when we ski, I'm not taking 4 kids. I'm taking like 4 kids plus 4 pairs of gloves plus.
Yes.
I'm so crazy about like wear your gloves all the time. Where do you have your socks? Are they drying out? Where are your gloves? It's like taking 20 kids skiing is how it feels sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I would say practically, you need to sign up for ski school and start there.
Everybody, even the adults.
Kids, everyone, go to ski school. And sign up for it more than you think. Like not just one day.
Yes.
Do it the whole time or almost the whole time.
Yes. And for years, like we still do lessons in ski school. Like my family now has been skiing like 5 years in a row, something like that, 6 years in a row. I still do it. I still sign up for ski school, me, myself, because I don't feel like confident enough. Like I need a refresher if I'm only doing it once a year.
Yes. Okay, wait, where do you think is the best place that you guys have been for like newbies? If you were going to tell them to go somewhere, where would you recommend?
Well, I think my general rule is to go somewhere that's not crowded. So I think any place if you go around Christmas or is spring break is going to just by default be more crowded. I don't know. I feel like I would try to go when it's not crowded. I think crowded makes learning everything harder. I also think crowded makes dragging your kids up there and getting everybody squared away harder.
Makes losing a glove easier.
Yeah, I think I would try to go. I know it's, I mean, it's so much more practical to go when you're already off for Christmas or spring break. But if it's your first time, maybe try to go when it's not super crowded. Our family's favorite place is for sure Park City. That's our favorite place. But that Colorado has so many great choices. There's so many great. Andrew and Smith went to Jackson Hole this year and they loved it. Just crowded makes it harder. Crowded makes it harder. We should break down skiing.
Yeah, that's a great topic because you would hear the real raw thoughts of people who did not learn how to ski until they were in their 30s. And when I say learn to ski, I'm like saying it with quotations because you would be so disappointed if you saw me ski. That's a great, great topic. Great question. But maybe you asked the wrong people, actually.
Our producer, John, would have to start bleeping me out. It would be just talking about it gets my blood pressure up. It's hard. It's hard.
Yes.
All right. Well, okay. My next question, favorite places to shop for home interior things? Oh, that's a good question. Restoration Hardware is my favorite place. For furniture, I buy a lot of lamps from Restoration Hardware and patio furniture from there. And then, of course, like chairs and couches and tables. And
you buy most of your stuff
from
there, right? She didn't have to question it.
No. I like to buy my rugs from Pottery Barn. For sure. Pottery Barn is my favorite place for rugs. Quality and comfort and variety. And then like, I don't know, I say knickknack. Is that correct? Knickknack stuff? Like just like accessories?
Yeah. Accessories are probably the right word.
Yeah. I pick them up from a variety of places. And there's not like one place I go for. Any place from Hobby Lobby to I can see something on vacation, like in Europe and pick out something cool. Like just, it's a random assortment.
This probably goes back to the Enneagram, but I feel like when I did not have four kids and a work from home job, I loved like cruising the aisles. When we didn't have something to do, I would be like, oh, let's go look at a home store. Like, I just thought it was so fun. Now, if it doesn't have an online presence, I'm not interested because that's the only place that I'm ever like grabbing something for our house. But to be honest, it just gets like thrown to the wayside for me. I'm fine about or good about like adding seasonal things just because it comes around and I'm excited, but it's not something that I'm like constantly shopping for. So I'm not sure if that's like your mom's interior design background that has you like constantly doing that, or if it's just like your personality. Could go either way, right? But mine, that's not for me. I wish it was. I wish I was better at that, but I'm not.
No. I say on the fitness episode, I blame my mom for lots of things and she should probably stop listening, but I'm going to blame her for that too.
Cause no, it's a positive thing. Cause I want to like finish a room and like be done with it, where you're like constantly adding. So then it doesn't probably look as like outdated as like my rooms are going to look and then I'll have to start all over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's from growing up with an interior designer. That's what happened there.
Yeah.
Do you have one more question?
Yeah, I have one more question. Okay. This one's for you. Shay, how did your dad become a Red Sox fan and how did he get you on board?
Oh, so my dad grew up in Texas in a variety of places because he was a preacher's kid, but he grew up in Texas. But the Texas Rangers didn't come to Texas until, I think, 1974. I think that's right. And my dad graduated high school in like 1974. So growing up, there wasn't like a home team.
Yes.
So he didn't have any like allegiance to a home team. Same for Andrew. Andrew grew up in an area where they didn't have a home team. So Andrew, just as a little boy, picked a team and Andrew picked the Yankees. My dad picked the Red
Andrew
Sox.
Should have picked the Royals.
Andrew would say he didn't feel connected to the Royals.
He should have picked them. They're closer. But go ahead. Your dad.
But my dad, yes. Like there wasn't, the Rangers are there now. But at that point, my dad's like going to college. Like he's already, as a boy, found his team or whatever.
So he just picked the Red Sox growing
up. Well, yes. And I mean, my dad wouldn't say this. I'm going to say my dad's mom and dad are Yankees fans. So I think there was probably a little stubbornness in that decision as well.
Yeah.
My dad's parents are in their 90s and they're huge New York Yankee fans. So
he was just trying to rock the boat. He was like, what's going to make them mad as a teenager? He probably thought, oh, the Red Sox. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how. And so I just grew up with a love for New England and the Red Sox.
Okay.
Does that wrap up birth?
That wraps it up. Yeah.
I feel like
we didn't get too graphic, I don't think, right?
No, I feel like we could have kept talking about it. There's just so much to say about birth.
Yeah, maybe next time we go a little deeper in everything that really happened. But yeah.
That was fun. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. If you thought we were fun today, we would love a great rating. You can reach out to us on Instagram or email us. We would love that.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening. See you next time.
Bye.
The Bestie Breakdown is brought to you by Erica Slaughter and Shay Scholl.
It's produced by John Reinhart at Free Dream Studio.
We love emails.
Reach out to us at thebestiebreakdown@gmail.com.